and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, August 20th, 2014.
Is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to the resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor.
Now, today on The Dad Show, as you can tell already, we're doing something a little different. I'm here with my daughter, Michaela.
Hi.
And she and I are going to be talking with Joe and Ariel Masters about their father-daughter summer vacation. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good. We're good. So, why don't we kind of start this out with Joe giving us a little summary of, how the planning for this trip kind of got rolling.
So, we've kind of been in this pattern where we're trying to do at least one Disney trip a year. And in the first couple of years, we started in 2011, and first couple of years we started to hit Star Wars weekends. That seemed to be the optimal weekend for the end of the off-season pricing before summer hours and summer pricing hit. And we got the last weekend of Star Wars weekends, which is kind of cool for me. I don't know if Ariel's really that much into Star Wars. But then the Diz Dads convention came around that January of 2013, and obviously we didn't want to miss that. So I took her out of school. We did the convention, and a great group of guys. We had a great time. And then we didn't get a chance to do a second trip in 13 for our normal year. So
it had been a while since you'd gotten a chance to get back.
It has. It has. So what happened is my mother had some issues and had gotten into some money and decided she was going to buy a trip for my birthday. My birthday being the end of July, she said, well, let's do something, for a week there, and we'll suffer through the heat and have a good time, spend some quality time together.
All right. And so, Ariel, why don't you tell us a little bit about the planning for a July Walt Disney World trip? Did it change anything for you that you were going in the middle of summer?
Yes, it did.
Okay. So talk to us about it. Tell us what it changed.
It changed how much of being outside because of the heat made us sweat a lot more.
Okay. Okay. So you were there in July and you were there for a week. Talk to us about where you stayed.
Okay. So we left out of here on Wednesday, the 23rd. Our package didn't start till Friday. So we gave ourselves 2 days, being the only driver, roughly about 1,100 miles from Dallas. I was going to plan it out and do roughly an eight-hour day with frequent stops if need be and just grab a soda if we need to get out of the car and stretch our legs type of thing. So I was really planning to stop somewhere around Mississippi. But we got out of here at 6 o'clock that Wednesday morning, and we were in Louisiana by 9 a.m. already.
Nice.
And making good time. So some friends we were thinking about meeting up with had gotten busy and weren't going to be able to have dinner with us. So that we decided once we got to that point, we got into Alabama and we just decided to keep going. And we figured the good stopping point would be at least cross the Florida state line. And then we could take it easy on Thursday.
So Ariel, tell us about the marathon road trip with Dad.
Oh, no. It was very, very boring. I feel your pain.
So what kinds of things did you do to combat the boredom?
I played on a DS and my phone and just sang along to the songs to the radio.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All good things. Yeah. Okay, so you took that break, I assume, shortly after the Florida line. And did you have a plan for, since you changed your whole trip strategy, really. Did you have a plan for when you needed to get going the next morning and what you were going to be doing, when you got there?
I didn't originally. And so that was one of the things. We stopped at the Florida Welcome Center, like everybody, I think, does, and got the picture with the sign and took a bathroom break. And then I made a phone call to Disney, the reservations, and said, look, I'm going to arrive a day early. We didn't plan for this. We're just a little more than excited to get here. So we got here really quick. And the lady that helped us was very, very friendly and very helpful. I says, I'm going to take one night to go totally off the page and splurge. And I want to stay someplace I've never stayed before and probably someplace I probably couldn't afford to stay a whole week at.
Sure, sure.
So I originally had asked about the tree houses over at Saratoga Springs because I had stayed there way back when that was Disney Institute and they were the Swiss Family Robinson tree houses.
Okay.
And I had remember seeing them the last time we were there, and I asked about them, and she says, well, they don't have any available, but there is other villas, that is a three-bedroom villa that was available for plus $1,000. And I'm like, well, I'm not sure we want to go that far. There's only two of us in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You nearly spat out my drink, dude.
So what I agreed on is like, look, give me some place around the boardwalk. I wanted to try the boardwalk. We'd never stayed there. And we were definitely on a mission to get over to Beaches and Cream. So we'll get to that here shortly.
Okay.
But she wound up getting us in there for just around $500. And I know for some people that's still probably a pretty steep nightly fee. But again, I said I was going to go off the page for one night, do something I would normally not do. And we ended up at Boardwalk, which to me was a very nice DVC resort. The minute you walk in the doors, they're telling you welcome home, which a lot of the other regular resorts that are not DVC don't do. I mean, they say welcome, but yeah. It's just that added welcome home verbiage that makes it feel a little more special.
Sure. I mean, that's sort of the signature of the DVC experience is that, you know, because you're an owner of your DVC points and therefore your property, you know, they're welcoming you back to your house. And they really do go out of their way to be welcoming. I stayed there for the last Diz Dad's gathering last year and really appreciated that same attitude. And, you know, I think you really bring up a great point in that when you've got an unexpected, you know, extra day or you've got an extra day that you know, you hadn't planned on anyway, that's a great time to do that kind of thing, to splurge a little bit, you know, to call ahead and see if you can get one night at Animal Kingdom Lodge in a Savannah view or, you know, one night theme park view at the Contemporary and really, you know, even if you wouldn't normally spend that for a week-long vacation, that one night splurge, you can kind of have that fantasy experience for a little while.
Can we do
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
We kind of have done that.
Yeah.
Remember the last time we stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge?
Yeah.
So you're at the spot in the boardwalk. I assume by the time you get there, you're pretty wiped, Joe. I mean, you've been driving solo for, what, 18 hours?
Well, we stopped that night in Florida at the, what was it, I guess, just past Pensacola.
Oh, okay.
So we did spend the night.
Okay.
And then finished the trip on Thursday like we originally planned. We got there about, I guess it was a little after 4 o'clock, about 4:30. So we hit I-4 right in rush hour.
Ouch.
So we were doing our best to, we came off the turnpike and paid the toll road and came right, I guess that's just east of where the Disney property is.
Okay.
And backtracked. We wound up going east because I thought we were on the west side. So we actually went the wrong direction for a little bit and got deeper in the traffic.
Oh, no.
And, you know, Dad was stressing a little bit because he didn't want to be in any worse scenario. Because, like he said, I had been behind the wheel and in that seat for 2 days now. but we did make it in there right a little bit after 5, I think. We finally got into the resort and we got the whole welcome package, got us set up. They made sure our bands were working for the room, and we went upstairs, and I took some photos. We went out on the little balcony they have there and overlooking the little lake area. It was a very nice spot, very nice room. Definitely a great atmosphere, the boardwalk. I know a lot of people have stayed there and can agree. That's one of the most unique places to be in the Disney properties to me.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing like that, you know, boardwalk entertainment area being right outside your door.
Absolutely.
So you said that, one of the things you were looking forward to being over in that Crescent Lake area was the close proximity to beaches and cream. I sense there's a story there.
So... I'm not the smartest person in the world sometimes. I think with my stomach more than I do with my mind. So I'd always heard about this elusive kitchen sink, right? And so I was curious to find out what it was like, what it was, and could we do it? So once we got in there and sat down and started reading the little pamphlet on it and realized it was designed for a party of four.
Right.
So I imagine a very... hungry party of four could pull that off with no problem at all. We actually ordered a tomato bisque, a grilled cheese and tomato bisque, and we shared that. We didn't get two separate ones. We got one and shared it.
So you were saving up. Smart thinking.
We hadn't eaten a whole lot on the road. You know, we stopped and did a little lunch, but it was dinner time, and we needed to get something to eat. So I guess it was probably around 9 o'clock, I think, when we actually landed those reservations.
Okay.
So we had skipped dinner and were really hungry at that point. So we went ahead and knocked out the grilled cheese and tomato bisque and then broke it to her and was like, look, we're two people. We're going to try this thing. So she put the order in.
Before we get too far ahead, I actually had somebody write in to remind us that sometimes people, you know, we use terminology and people don't necessarily know what we're talking about. So when we say, you know, kitchen sink and it's so much, let's talk about what it is, what's actually in that bowl.
Thank you.
Okay, so the kitchen sink is probably one of the largest desserts. I'm pretty sure it's the largest dessert you can get in Walt Disney World. It is a huge metal bowl. It looks and shaped like a sink. There's actually metal pieces hanging off of it that look like a faucet and two handles. So it literally looks like a sink.
Right.
Imagine your biggest ice cream bowl. I know they sell these novelty bowls. They're pretty good size. Probably holds about a half a gallon, I would almost guess.
Okay.
Maybe even more.
Yeah, but probably more.
The makeup of it is 8 scoops of ice cream and then a little bit of everything that's on the bar to make up the ingredients and an entire can of whipped cream.
That'll give you diabetes.
It should, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
So that's basically the makeup of. There was strawberry shortcake cut up into, it's either halves or quarters and split around the edge. And then there was brownies cut up into either halves and quarters and also split around the edge to make up the decoration. And then, of course, cherries and all the fixings, the sprinkles on the inside. And then literally they just go at it with the can of cream and fill in the top of it. So this thing comes out as a huge mound of whipped cream. You don't even see the ice cream part. It's down in the bowl part.
Okay.
It is really, really huge. And they turn on some lights. They have, yellow audio light, yellow caution lights. Thank you.
Okay.
That go off and they announce these things. And it says, we're bringing out a kitchen sink. And it has everything but the kitchen sink, including a whole can of whipped cream. And at that point, the entire Beaches and Cream staff in unison say, a whole can, and then they set it on your table.
All right, so Ariel, I think we want to hear your blow-by-blow story. How do you dig into this thing?
I guess you start with the whipped cream and the cherries, and then once you get deep enough, you start eating the ice cream very slowly. It was kind of hard because I got really full after a little bit, but I kept going anyway.
Been there, done that.
So literally pushed ourselves.
Right.
We started with the strawberry shortcake and a brownie or two, trying to pick those off the sides, because we were really trying to get into the ice cream.
Right. So how long did the ice cream stay ice cream for you? Because that's the thing that I always wonder about. I mean, you know, it sounds great, and then I start thinking, you know, you end up pretty quickly with that just kind of mess of ice cream soup at the bottom. So how long, you know, did it survive as ice cream before?
And we're in Orlando. I mean, air conditioning can't be that good.
And we were by the door.
Yeah. So how long until you had ice cream soup?
It was probably a good 30 minutes into it. It took us a while to get down to the nit of just the ice cream that was left.
Right.
Oh, it was an hour and a half.
It took us an hour and a half or two to finish the whole thing.
You finished it?
Almost.
Almost. We had taken, what, two brownies and a strawberry shortcake and set them in a bowl. Because they bring you bowls, like you're going to scoop out your share and move off to the side.
Yeah.
And I looked at her and I'm like, I don't think this is necessary. Let's just dive in.
Right.
But, yeah, we did have two brownies and a strawberry shortcake. The brownies are really thick fillers. Because if you take those out first and try and eat those, you won't make it through the ice cream. At least not with two people anyway.
Sure, because they're thick and they're rich. And the rich is really what gets to you, I think.
Yeah. But to answer your question, I think the bowl helps. Because the bowl being metal, actually, it starts to freeze with the ice cream. And it keeps the ice cream in its state a little longer. So we did fare pretty good. Well, I can't even think of the flavors we ended up with, but
we had mint chocolate chip, peanut butter, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, and we're not sure, but we think there was coffee in there.
Toffee flavor.
Or toffee.
Toffee, okay.
Yeah.
Toffee, sort of a butterscotchy flavor.
Yes. Yep.
Okay, so I assume that you didn't, you know, follow that up with a ride on Mission Space Orange.
No.
I would have actually tried that, probably.
But I assume that's kind of the, you know, you weren't in a theme park that night, right? That was just a hanging out night?
Yeah, we knew we were going to get there early, didn't wanted to just go hang around the boardwalk. We didn't plan on any park action that night. It wasn't going to be worth it at that point.
Sure. So you managed to walk off a little bit of that Sunday around Crescent Lake, and then next morning, I assume, you know, ready to storm the castles.
Absolutely. We very slowly made our way around Crescent Lake. We were both bulging at the stomach, obviously.
Sure.
But yeah, we made it back to the room and then relaxed and laid down and set a plan for the next morning, knowing that it was actually our checkout day for the boardwalk because we're only there one night. We had to get up and get our things together and get them back in the car. So we left the car at boardwalk and did the walkthrough to the back gate. Actually, we rode the boat. Yeah. So we rode the ferry over and, you know, all 500 yards of it that it takes you. Literally, well, there were people.
It was your morning recovering from the kitchen sink, so.
It was. That's why I was trying to, you know, set down as much as possible because I was still full from the night before.
I'm still wondering how you were able to go to sleep.
On my back.
So you made it an Epcot day for your first day.
Mm-hmm. We did, because our tradition as daddy-daughter, until she gets tired of it anyway, is to always do Akershus on day one.
Oh, okay.
Right? So
do your princess breakfast or princess meal to get the trip rolling.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So we made it into the park. Now, a little side story. We got off the boat at the landing there, just in the other side of Epcot, around where World Showcase is. And in front of us, getting off the boat at the same time, are two of our friends from the car club here in Dallas. I'm a member of the SVT, Ford SVT car club in North Texas.
Okay.
And two of our friends got off the boat right in front of us. So that was kind of a unique surprise. You know, we've driven 1,100 miles, and there we are, people we see once a month or so at our local car shows and stuff. So that was really unique.
Nice little bonus.
Absolutely. So we chatted with them for a minute and then started making our way around the lagoon towards the Future World area.
Okay. So, you know, you had a week, so I'm assuming you spent, you know, more than one day in some parks and more than one, that kind of thing. So when we do these shows, we kind of try and combine it and talk a little bit more sort of park by park instead of day by day.
Fair enough.
Why don't we talk about sort of highlights for you all of Epcot in general? You obviously had different, you know, dining plans there, attraction things. So we'll even let Ariel go first. And Ariel, what are, you know, two or three things that stand out to you about the time you spent in Epcot on this trip?
Definitely the different kinds of places you can eat, considering that it's different places of the world in one little area of land. How you have Mexico and Spain, and they're like 10 feet away from each other.
Sure. And anything in particular, a favorite new food item you tried?
We tried a new restaurant this time. Where'd we go? Coral Reef.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Coral Reef is the one that butts up to the aquarium that is part of the Living Seas on the Future World side. So talk to us a little bit about Coral Reef. What did you think of it?
It was very nice. It had clear water, obviously, and they had scuba divers in playing with the water in the air that they have.
Okay.
They were swimming around with the fish and the turtles. And the cast was very welcoming.
Good, good. How about you, Joe? What did you think of Coral Reef?
Definitely different. I kind of shame myself for not getting in there sooner. That's a very nice restaurant to me. The atmosphere is very unique compared to a lot of the other restaurants. We, being only a party of two, got to set up against the glass, so we were right next to the aquarium area, or the tank area. Yeah, the splash zone, as they call it, yeah.
I've never seen.
But, yeah, there was a huge, huge turtle laying up against the glass right next to us. They kept coming and going. I'm guessing that was his designated spot where he likes to sleep, or she.
Okay.
But then there was the scuba diver did come to the window, and he was blowing circles. I'm not sure how he was pulling that off, but just entertaining the crowd. The guest service, again, you know, top-notch, definitely Disney guest service cast members. The food we had. I had the strip steak again.
Okay.
Which we'll cover that again as we go through some of the other parks, but definitely a very tasty steak and again, a great place to eat, very nice atmosphere, and a shame for myself for not getting in there sooner and trying it before.
Yeah, see, I always have to ask people who tell me that they ate at Coral Reef, I always have to ask whether they, you know, ordered the fish so they could taunt the tank.
Good idea.
But it sounds like you went for the beef option.
I did.
Ariel, I've always wondered, have you eaten sushi considering your name?
No, I haven't. I don't like fish.
At all.
Okay, all
right, so Joe, anything you want to add about Epcot? Things that stood out about your time at Epcot?
No, not really. It was, you know, off and on that week. Some rain showers in between kept the temperatures at bay a little bit. We had some fast passes. We pulled off Test Track and Mission Space, and then we did the Nemo and Friends ride. The only thing I didn't get to do that I really wanted to do was, I believe Nate calls it a quintessential, and that was I didn't get a chance to ride the land.
You missed living with the land.
I missed it this time, but I know there will be another.
All right. Well, you'll be back, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
So I do want to ask, sounds like you did manage to hit Soarin', but you didn't have fast passes. So I wanted to hear how that went on a busy July day in Epcot.
You know, for the time frame we were in, I think it was kind of late in the evening as well. It was right around near the time when we were going to do Coral Reef for dinner. And so it was, well, I guess about a 40-minute wait in line. And the in-line, the in-queue games that they have up on the wall weren't quite working the way we thought they should.
Okay.
Because everybody, the whole line of us, were waving at him and trying to get him to do things, and only a handful of people were actually getting good response. But other than that, you know, it was not bad. I think it's standard for Soarin'.
All right. So you then needed to hop over to another resort. So where were you going to be staying for the rest of your trip?
So for Miss Ariel, the Little Mermaid that she is, I actually booked Art of Animation because we hadn't stayed there. We were there, I guess it was 2012, looking at Art of Animation across the pond when we were over at Pop Century.
Right.
And it was all under construction.
Yeah.
Correct. So this time we thought we'd check it out and see what it was like on the other side of the Hourglass Lake. And we chose a Little Mermaid room because we didn't really need a family room. That's what the plan was when my mother was going to go.
Okay.
But she ended up not going, and it was just the two of us. So we ended up in the Little Mermaid rooms, which to me is probably a little far from the food court for a value resort.
A little.
It was quite a bit of a walk.
Yeah, that is the one thing I always have to tell people is that, you know, there are one quarter of the resort is these, you know, standard value rooms, but they are in the back corner of the resort. So they are a little distant from things. So, Ariel, did it feel like home?
Sure. It wasn't the greatest room.
Okay. Well, so tell us about that. Tell us. I mean, you know, we want people to have a real picture of what the experience is like. So, what did you think of the room? What were the things that maybe weren't as great as you wanted them to be?
Well, it was kind of hard to figure out where the refrigerator was because they disguised it as drawers.
Okay.
And I'm not really sure. It's just, it wasn't as great as the other experiences.
Yeah, let me preface that by saying, last time we were there for the DizDads convention, we were in the Royal Guest Rooms over at Port Orleans Riverside. So this is a little bit less of a room than what we stayed at last time.
Well, yeah, you know, you had you kind of gave yourself a little bit of a difficult challenge because you were in Royal Guest Rooms and then a night, you know, in a deluxe at the Boardwalk, and then you were going back to a, you know, value resort. So there's going to be some differences.
Absolutely. But I'll say from my perspective that the room, I think, was still very well themed. The seashell headboard, and then you've got the Little Mermaid that's on the big shower curtain in the bathroom, which, by the way, is available in the gift shop if anybody wants one. The wall tile in the shower itself was made to look like Ariel's grotto from the movie. So the shelving and all the knickknacks and the dinglehopper things that were on the wall were just really well themed. I love the way the room is decorated.
Okay, but I do have to ask, is it not just a little bit creepy as a dad to be showering with Ariel?
Dad!
it's all in perspective, right? I know this is a family show, but hey, I was showering with somebody pretty. It was good.
Oh my God.
Oh, okay. But yeah, it was a great room. I enjoyed it. The only problem, like I said, was that corridor of the resort was off in the distance, and we were literally in the first floor, last room at the very end of the building, right next to the lake.
Yeah. That
so we had that full walk all the way to the center of the area of the Little Mermaid area, and then the full walk all the way to the food court for if you wanted to get a drink. So in the summertime, where we were, July, it's kind of hot. And by the time you get from the food court with your refill mug and you get back to the room, you're down to half a drink or less. So one last throw in, and we'll move on to the next topic.
Sure.
The Little Mermaid area has its own pool and its own pool, I guess, washroom area. And inside there's vending machines. The vending machines take credit card if you don't have the cash. So there's a little bit of vanities, you know, in that area that you don't have to go too far. Obviously, the pool to be at Art of Animation is the big blue pool with the audio underneath and where everybody else is.
Wow.
But for Ariel, the Little Mermaid, and us, because it's my favorite movie, the full life-size Ursula, I guess beyond life-size at this point, Ursula, Ariel, and King Triton are really nice decorations for that part of the resort.
Cool. Okay, well, let's go ahead and bounce to the next theme park. And, you know, we talked about Epcot already, so let's hop a monorail over to the Magic Kingdom and talk about highlights of time that you spent at the Magic Kingdom.
Okay, so Magic Kingdom we did on Sunday, which was actually my birthday. The lovely cast members at the resort made sure I had a button that said my name on it and that it was my birthday. So you got something you want to say? Go ahead.
No.
Okay. But, so Magic Kingdom on my birthday, you know, biggest dream come true you can have, right? That's the place to be, the park to be in, and it was my birthday. So my birthday gift to myself, which just coincidentally happened to play out, I didn't plan any meals for Magic Kingdom for that day because I was kind of hoping to hold out and get a hold of Be Our Guest.
Okay.
And this planned out in April timeframe. I not planned this too far in advance because when I had found out my mother wasn't going, I had to redo this whole trip for myself and Ariel.
Sure. All the changes in your plan, and it's awfully, you know, Be Our Guest is a hard get at 180 days. It's even worse a few months, you know, just a couple of months out.
Exactly. So I had gotten the fast passes done. We were going to do Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. That was obviously top of the list. We do Crystal Palace every time we go, so I was kind of wanting to avoid that for the sake of nostalgia. We've done it every time we've been. Let's try something new.
Okay.
So I was holding out, and every night I would get up at midnight or so, or I'd always still be up at midnight. And I was pounding away at the ADRs, trying to figure out if I could get in the door, get in the door. And again, this time we nailed an opening after, I think it was at 9 o'clock exactly, for okay. Be our guests. And I'm like, that's fine with me. I'll starve the rest of the evening to get that opportunity.
Cool.
So
now, one quick update, because this is just sort of current Disney news that we should pass on. If you've done the most recent update to the, at least I know the iOS version of My Disney Experience, and I don't know yet whether this is active on the Android side or not, but I know it's coming. When you do the most recent update, and this is, you know, August 17th, and I believe this update rolled out last week, they've updated the way that the dining app works. And if you've tried to use the My Disney Experience, you know, the dining piece of it, you know that in the past, if you tried to search for a same-day ADR, it would always tell you that you had to call. But they've now changed that, and you can make ADRs as little as 20 minutes in advance now.
Yeah, I saw that update. That was new and very, very smart move on their part, because that's what a lot of people I notice are doing in the parks, is trying to pull off those, not only the fast passes, but the ADRs in the middle of the day. And it wasn't working for us. So it was a good thing we had everything we had done in advance.
Right. All right. So you swung that Be Our Guest. Had you eaten it at Be Our Guest before for dinner?
Never.
Very cool. So you got a birthday dinner coming at Be Our Guest.
Yeah, so again, I went for the steak, so you'll see a theme here. let me remind everybody listening to the podcast that we are from Dallas, so we're Texans.
Texas family.
Meat is a number one priority in Texas. So I had done the steak again, which again was very tasty, very delicious, well served, nice and juicy to me. I went for medium well.
Okay.
We were late, so... after the 9 o'clock, you know, with any sit down meal, I think in most of the Disney restaurants, you know, your experience is a minimum of 45 minutes long, if not over an hour.
Sure.
So our dinner actually went into closing after Be Our Guest last service. We were the last ones in Be Our Guest, coincidentally enough, after they brought us the dessert. So what I had ordered for dessert, Ariel went after the gray stuff, and okay. It came on top of a little brownie of some sort. Mm-hmm. And then I said I wanted the same thing, but since it was my birthday, they kind of missed the opportunity there, and they brought me the gray stuff separately.
Ah, okay.
So there was a little candle in the top of the gray stuff.
Okay. And I, you know, we have to ask, of course, was the gray stuff delicious?
It was.
It was quite tasty.
Well, if you don't believe them, ask the dishes.
Well, the dishes tell the tale, because my plate was clean.
Okay.
So our little dust of magic for the Be Our Guest restaurant, being the last ones in there, the lady that was serving our table took us and showed us where there were some hidden Mickeys in the ceiling.
Oh, cool.
Took us over to the West Wing and showed us that area. And in the dark room in the West Wing, if you go all the way up to, or I guess it was the Rose Room. If you go all the way up to the front of the room where the rose is, and then you look up to your left at the hanging material that's hanging there, there is a small silhouetted hidden Mickey cut out of the cloth.
Oh, cool.
So we got that little sprinkle of bonus for our evening there at the Be Our Guest restaurant.
Nice little private tour.
West Wing is forbidden.
Yes. But overall, Magic Kingdom that day was, you know, typical crowd, not too bad. The lines were long in some areas. It seemed like the longest line we dealt with was Peter Pan. We had fast passes for pretty much everything else we wanted to get done.
Yeah, and Peter Pan's always a rough line just because it's an old style queue.
Well, it's awesome.
Yes. But we got there early because it's my birthday. I wanted to try and hit rope drop. We didn't quite make it. The opening ceremonies were already done, but we were still in the gate shortly after 8 o'clock.
Okay.
And we started off in Tomorrowland and made our rounds and knocked out quite a bit over there within the hour.
Oh, good.
It was pretty quick. So then we just started backtracking through the park. And like I said, the wait times were reasonable, not too bad. And we got our Magic Kingdom day in. We got a few pictures in and
okay.
Back to the room we went.
So, Ariel, any other Magic Kingdom highlights for you other than dinner at Be Our Guest? Favorite experiences?
Yes, I did. I found more hidden Mickeys without the book.
Ah, excellent. So, do you keep track of your hidden Mickey finding records?
No.
Okay.
Just saying. Oh, there's a hidden Mickey.
Okay. Just a personal tally.
I've got 10 so far.
We have the book, but we didn't use it. We actually took it with us, but we didn't have it with us in the park. Didn't want the extra to carry around.
Sure. All right. So we've talked about Epcot. We've talked about Magic Kingdom. You were there over Star Wars weekend. So talk to us a little bit about Hollywood Studios and Star Wars weekend.
No, we weren't Star Wars weekend.
Oh, you weren't Star Wars. Oh, that's right. You ended up in July instead of Star Wars weekend.
Instead of.
Thank you for correcting me. So you were there in July. So what was Hollywood Studios like in the summer, but not Star Wars weekend like you're used to?
You know, it's to me, it's the way Hollywood Studios has always been. There's plenty of crowd. The top items that you want to go see and do are always got long lines in them, and the wait is eternal, it seems like. And with a lot less shade in Hollywood Studios than there are in some of the other parks. We went through the area where Toy Story Midway Mania is and looked at the line there, and it said, 90 minutes? And it was very discouraging. We didn't get in that line. And then we went down, and we were going to get in the line for the Pirates of the Caribbean experience, and they handed us paper fast passes and told us to come back later.
Interesting. So I didn't know about this one. I knew that they had experimented with that system at Soarin' and at the Anna and Elsa meet and greet in the Magic Kingdom. It sounds like that's the same system they were using there. And it actually sounds like the same circumstance that, you know, that's an area where a long line starts to get to be problematic for traffic flow because it's right there next to the also long line for Toy Story Mania.
Yeah. So there was, you know, there was a good crowd of people out in front of the door where the line was and it was forming because it's, I believe it's right around the corner from where the Oaken's Trading Post is.
Oh, so, right. Because they had all the special Frozen Summer stuff going on.
Correct. So, but at that point, when people were walking up, they were just handing them paper slips. They weren't letting the line build anymore. So I don't know if they were trying to shut the ride down or if it was a capacity thing or what was going on. But they were definitely handing them out, everybody that walked up.
Apparently, because we talked about this recently on another show, that what they're experimenting with is this idea of handing out return times for the standby line so that the standby lines don't back up beyond a certain point. And what it does is basically they do a little math and they say, you know, we can get this many people through the attraction in this amount of time. And so we're going to stop handing out these return times so that we can close the attraction and send the cast members home at the end of the day. Because otherwise the lines were building up too much.
That's pretty much what they did. Now, we didn't make it back for the 5 o'clock fast pass that we had in our pockets. We got distracted and we're doing other things on the other side of the park. But it was still an interesting entry into what's to come, I think.
Okay.
I think we're going to see that expand a little more in different places. Because like I said, you talk about Magic Kingdom and the Peter Pan line. That was probably the longest line we saw all day long. So I imagine that'll be another test spot or a use case.
Could be. So what were some of the things that stood out as highlights at Hollywood Studios?
Well, for me, my favorite restaurant at Hollywood Studios is the 50s Primetime Cafe.
Okay.
So I love the experience. I love the at-home nostalgia and just the way the cast members are. The gentleman I had was the lazy cousin who didn't want to do anything. And he kept getting yelled at for sitting down because he would come sit at our table and ask us what we want. He wouldn't stand up. Okay. And then there were several other tables around us he did that at. And the sisters or cousins or whatever they are come and they yell at him and tell him to get back to work. And he doesn't want to. But my go-to dessert for Disney Hollywood Studios is that peanut butter and jelly shake. I love that shake.
Okay. So, Ariel, did your dad eat his green beans?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So he didn't get called out?
No.
Who almost did?
I did. I almost got called out.
So she got scared because the couple behind us in the next room over, somebody at that table didn't eat their green beans, and she was on them like white on rice. You're going to eat your green beans. You're not going to get any dessert. You know, the whole at-home experience where you're not getting up from the table till you're done. And they were berating this poor little kid, and he finally took a bite.
No, it was a woman.
Oh, it was a woman? Sorry.
It was like a 20 or 30-year-old woman.
Yeah, so she was getting it. And she wasn't going to get her dessert until she ate her green beans. So the lady actually scooped her a couple, I think a fork load, and made her eat her beans.
My God, this is Disney, people.
So Ariel got a little nervous.
Justifiably so, apparently.
So I reached over and I had a couple of them trying to help her out to get her past the breaking point. So she was safe. And again, the gentleman we had serving us was the lazy cousin, and I don't think he was that far into it. He didn't seem like he was that immersed into the experience as this other lady was.
Well, and you know, the lazy cousin is lazy. He's not going to take the extra energy to try and enforce the green bean eating rule.
Right.
Five more minutes.
But it was great. Somebody had cleaned their plate. I think they had the meatloaf. And they had cleaned their plate pretty good. And he took the plate and hung it on the wall for everybody to see. He's like, yeah, see, that's how you clean your plate. And that, to us, dirty plate sat on the wall for easily an hour before somebody came and got it.
Okay.
But Ariel, another good meal.
Yeah. Ariel, any Hollywood Studios highlights for you?
It's not really a highlight, but just the fact that the on El Salon was like 210 minutes long.
Okay. All right. Well, Joe, anything else that you feel like you need to share about Hollywood Studios? Did you guys do any of the special Frozen stuff that was going on?
We went into the trading post and walked around a little bit. That was about the extent of it.
Okay.
Did you go to the sauna?
No, we did not.
It said family members only. Sorry.
Okay.
That doesn't make any sense.
So, yeah, we had a dessert or a snack late afternoon and did a few more things. Did the Journey of the Little Mermaid, went back into the animators' rooms and got a few autographs and then pretty much called it a day. We rode what we needed to ride. We got our rock and roller coaster in, and that was most important.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good.
Tower of Terror?
What's that? I'm sorry. You broke up.
Did you ride Tower of Terror?
I still think you're not hearing me.
he doesn't want to ride Tower of Terror, but I do.
You're just like my brother.
So Ariel, it looks good where it's at. We'll leave it there.
So Ariel, you had to ride that solo? Your father made you go ride Tower of Terror by yourself?
Well, no, I didn't ride it.
Oh, you didn't ride?
I just didn't ride it. I didn't know if there was a single rider line, and if there wasn't, I didn't want to stand in.
Yeah, I don't blame you. No single rider line for Tower of Terror, unfortunately.
Well, actually, sometimes when they have one more spot left, they ask if somebody's a single rider, and then you can go on.
That's true. Sometimes they'll pull people out of the regular line.
Because that happens most of the time, because a lot of people come in pairs of threes.
Right.
Not pairs of threes, but threes.
Right. So sometimes when there's an extra seat in a row, they'll pull, you know, one more person to fill a row, but they do it from the regular line instead of like at Rock and Roller Coaster, where there's a whole separate line for single riders.
Yeah.
Well, that brings up a good point I think Ariel wants to touch on.
Go for it.
Well, it was kind of the pulling the people out. It was almost every ride we went on, we were pulled out five or six people behind the front.
Because they're always looking for a party of two.
Yeah. Oh, because they were looking for parties of two to fill.
Yes. Right.
We were always the party of two.
Nice. So you got to kind of skip ahead just a little bit.
Yeah.
One jump ahead.
So that was a nice little bit of dust magic.
That's right.
There's a lot of families of three and more that were there and obviously in the line in front of us. So,
right.
Like you said, that happened more often than not.
Great. Nice little find. So did you manage to spend any time at Animal Kingdom?
Yeah, we got a little bit of time in there. We, you know, Adam Dale and his family and the girls, obviously, make it there a lot. And, you know, one of his daughters seems to love Yak and Yeti, which is a place we had never tried.
Right. Again, she's a big fan of their fried rice.
Absolutely. So in our continued efforts to not only get in our favorites, but also try something new every park we go to or every trip we make, Yak and Yeti was new for us this time. So it's I think the Yak and Yeti is one of the nice restaurants because it's a Landry's product.
And it's cool inside.
And it's cool inside. That was most important.
You know, we noticed the same thing. We went and ate there on a particularly hot day at Animal Kingdom, and it's some solid air conditioning. I'll give it that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well air conditioned. But, yeah, I sat down and ate in there and tried the – we had the chicken fried rice and a pretty good-sized bowl of it, too, and definitely enjoyed it. So
good.
Thanks to – I believe it's Claire who's got the recommendation on that.
All right. Shout out to Claire. Pass it on, Adam.
So other than that, we did our Expedition Everest. We got there a little early for our fast pass, but the standby line was only, 20 minutes long. Yeah.
Because everyone was in fast pass.
Yeah.
Nice.
And that seemed to be something we noticed, too, is the fast pass lines are filling up more than the standby lines are.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of that's because you're getting fewer – people are sticking to the fast pass times that they get better, you know. In the days of tickets, I think you had a lot of people who pulled tickets but then didn't make it into the line.
Gotcha.
And I think with FastPass Plus, people are doing a better job of, you know, using the reservations they've made because it's harder to pull an extra substitute, right?
Well, that, and I think because of the paper tickets, they would always fudge it by a few minutes, either early or late, just to say you were close to the window. And now with the magic bands, if you're not in that window, that thing turns blue and says, nope, it's not your time. Come back.
That's true.
So there was a lot of that, too. There were a lot of people trying to, you know, bypass the system.
Right.
And the CM standing there would turn them away and say, you know what, it's too early. You come back in a half an hour.
Yeah. Now, I know that at Expedition Everest in particular, Michaela and I rode single rider and found that single rider line is one that moves really quickly, too. For some reason. And it seems a little odd to me that particular single rider line moves so fast because, you know, it's an attraction that seats two to a car.
Right.
But, you know, we got on by, you know, in the single rider line, probably, you know, half of the wait time for the regular standby line.
Well, the thing is, I think it's shorter because not many people want to sit next to a stranger.
That's true. And so if the fact that you're willing to sit next to a stranger, you know, allows them to fill those slots.
Hey, as long as you get on the ride, right?
Right, exactly.
So we did that. We knocked out that standby and then turned around and hit our window and went pretty much, got a drink of water and then came right back and did our fast pass.
Perfect.
So we got two of those in. And I think somebody brought it up, maybe it had been Adam or somebody else brought up, that at the end of the track where the broken track is, there, what I think also is a new owl or something that they've put up there.
Yeah, it is new. Jeff Swearingen, who's one of our locals, confirmed that snowy owl was added to the attraction when they did the repair work on the place where the track is out.
It's Hedwig.
Yeah. So that was, I noticed it too, and I just thought that was odd because I don't remember seeing it before. So thanks to the other guys for confirming.
Yep.
So other than that, yeah. Another great day at Animal Kingdom. The one thing that I enjoy doing is it's tough to be a bug, and that was under construction or refurbishment while we were there, so we didn't get a chance to do that. We went and did Kilimanjaro's, of course.
Dinosaur.
And we rode Dinosaur. And survived.
Yeah.
Always a good thing when you survive the attraction.
Yes.
Shout out to Jonathan.
Shout out to Jonathan, yes.
All right. Well, so we've covered the parks. We've covered, you know, most of your dining. Any experiences either, you know, downtown Disney, Boardwalk, you know, any of the areas outside the parks that you did things even back at the resort that you want to share with us?
You know, I guess the thing that I noticed is there's a lot of construction at Magic Kingdom right now working on the inner circle. And
right.
Those walls are up between the Tomorrowland area when you walk around through the terrace over there and then around the inner hub. And they kind of direct you along, you know, around past where Crystal Palace is. So there's a lot of wall up in that area there. But once you get past the wall area and into the inner hub, you still got a great view of Wishes and the castle. Same thing. Let's see, where else did we go? Oh, yeah, downtown. So downtown's got all that construction going on. We took the bus, so we didn't have to worry about any parking. But there's definitely some wall up in there while they work on their construction. And it's a little bit of a longer walk because, you know, there used to be a shorter pass. Now you have to go out to the perimeter by the
go around
parkway.
The construction.
Yeah. But other than that, it's, you know, a great vacation. We had a great time. I think we're going to look at experimenting with some winter time now, because it's been, we've never, as daddy-daughter, done anything during the fall or the winter time.
Ah, yeah. And that's a nice time, you know, because the Christmas decorations all go up by the middle of November. So, we've found that occasionally you can leverage, a couple of school conference days and, between a couple of days of school conferences and a couple of days of the weekend, you can do a nice trip with, only missing a couple of days of school.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Is Buffy the Vampire Slayer owned by Disney?
No.
Darn it!
Too dark. But yeah, so that's the next, I think one of the next things we want to achieve. I don't know if we'll get it off this year or maybe even next year.
Right.
But break out of the, I enjoyed Disney on my birthday, but I've been in Dallas for too long and the Florida humidity had got to me a little bit. And I just don't think I enjoy the summertime as much as I think I do.
Yeah, the long park hours are nice, but it is draining.
It is. But, so we had a great time. Yeah. 7 days on property, coming and go as we please. We did the park hopper so we can come and go anywhere we wanted to. We didn't do any of the water parks. We had the pool at the resort for all the water we needed.
Okay.
Had a great time.
Great. Well, any last thoughts, tips, suggestions that, come to you from this trip?
I don't think anything, more than anybody else already knows. Get your fast passes and your ADRs in early.
Right.
And try something new. Stick to your guns of what you like, but also try something new every trip and make it a different experience each time.
All right. Well, that's a great piece of advice to leave us on. So I do want to say thank you to my partner in crime on this end, Michaela. Thanks for helping out, Michaela.
Oh, okay. Thank you for letting me be on the show.
And glad we could have Ariel join us.
Thanks for letting me be here, considering I'm the princess.
And thank you again, Joe.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Well, look forward to talking to you again soon, and maybe we'll be talking next time about a fall or winter trip.
Absolutely. Look forward to it.
Sounds great. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Here comes the Figment music.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation. Right at the start of everything that's new, one little spark lights up for you. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. Never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer.